1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now this morning in our adult Sunday school class that we had in here, I've been teaching on the fruit of the Spirit the last 3 weeks, and this morning we did faith, meekness, and temperance. And we covered some things about the topic of faith that we're actually going to cover a little bit again for those of you who were earlier, just so that when we talk about the subject, those who were not with us this morning will be able to somewhat be on the same page with where we are as it concerns this topic of faith. Before we actually read our verse and take the scripture, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. This is a wonderful day. Father, my spirit is really overjoyed to be able to be with your people here, with a Bible, with your spirit, with your presence amongst us. It's an amazing thing. So, Father, we bow before you now and thank you for allowing us to have fellowship with you and fellowship with each other. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your words. We thank you for that great sacrifice at Calvary that brought us together as one in Jesus Christ. And we pray that you'll help us as we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, Father, if there's anybody amongst us today that's not saved yet, I pray that your Holy Spirit will do the work that only your Holy Spirit can do with the preaching of the Word of God to help them to understand their need of Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit would impress upon their heart through that great work of reproof, of sin, righteousness, and judgment, how desperately they need the Lord and how easily He can be received by faith. We ask you today, Lord, to encourage all of us who are saved, obviously the vast majority, about this matter that we're going to discuss today. Help us strengthen our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and our understanding of faith and the work that's done by it. For we ask you to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is writing to the Thessalonians, and he says in verse 2, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers," and then this in verse 3, "remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Notice he says, remembering without ceasing, these next four words, your work of faith, your work of faith. You know, when it comes to the topic of salvation, we're always so careful as Bible believers to emphasize to people who are considering Jesus Christ that salvation is not by works, but rather it's by faith. And we have to be clear on that because the nature of men, the nature of people, that is to somehow believe that if I am good, I can be rewarded with eternal life. If I have been baptized, or if I have been faithful to go to church, or if I've been nice if I met my fellow man, or if I've kept the commandments that I can think of as well as I possibly could, if I'm better than the next guy, you know, all those things are what people will say when you talk about heaven, when you talk about eternal life, they'll say all of those things. We're careful to say to them, but you can't work to get saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so what happens is we put so much emphasis on the faith, because people that aren't saved need to understand that, that we neglect sometimes to put emphasis on the work that follows salvation, or this topic, your work of faith. Your work of faith. In other words, when a person has that type of faith that brings them to salvation in Jesus Christ, that faith doesn't end there. That's not the ultimate objective to get saved. The ultimate objective then is to begin to live the eternal life that you now have received. And there is work that follows that faith. There is work that is a product and a process of that faith. So what is faith? What is faith? If we put so much emphasis on it for salvation, what is it? Well, faith simply is belief. Faith is belief. And you have to have something to believe in. It's not just faith for faith's sake. It's belief in something. or someone. You got to have that. So today, if you like athletics, or if you happen to watch competitions, then many times you're going to hear athletes say, we won, but we just believed. And what they're basically saying is that they have belief in themselves. You see somebody that's breaking out into the top 10 or top 5 in an individual sport. A lot of times their coach will say, they'll ask, how did this person, how did this man, how did this woman go from where they were in the standings to excel? And they'll say, well, they finally began to believe in themselves. Well, that's faith. Christians believe in Jesus Christ. That's what we do. We believe in Jesus Christ. Agnostics or atheists believe in science, or what they call science, or perhaps some other type of explanation. Recovering alcoholics and recovering drug addicts believe in God as they understand Him. I heard a fellow tell me the other day who had gone through that program. He said, you know, I look back now and kind of find it hard to believe that I thought God was a frog. I mean, it's just, but it's what he understood at the time. You understand what I'm saying? So you sort of make your own God to then trust a higher power to help you. Whatever it is, that all of that represents faith. You've got to believe something in order for you to have faith. And people have all kinds of things like that. Well, as I said, we're Christians. We believe in Jesus Christ, and we believe in the words of God, and you should. You should. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When I was young and first trusted Christ as my Savior, I did not, as you know, I did not read the Bible, so my faith didn't grow, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So I say to you with great confidence, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you should also believe in His words. And there's a reason for that. Don't lose your place here. Actually, the text is not going to change. The text is this: your work of faith. But I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Because I'd like to explore something we began looking at this morning in Sunday school in a little bit more detail. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I believe in a lot of things I've never seen. I believe in God. I've never seen Him. I believe in Jesus Christ. I've never seen Him. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I've never seen Him. Okay? I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I've seen depictions, but I didn't see that. I believe there are mansions in heaven. I believe there are streets of gold, right? I believe there's a city called New Jerusalem. I believe all of that, but I've never seen it. And yet my belief in that, based on what I've read in the Word of God, is so strong that it's substantial. Look at this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So let me ask you a question. Paul wrote to Titus and he said, in hope, we're talking about things hoped for, in hope of eternal life, which God, which cannot lie, promised before the world began. Right? Do you have hope of eternal life? Yeah, so do I. So do I. But you know something? And the Bible says, so faith is the substance of our eternal life. In other words, you can't see eternal life. Can you? I can't see it. I can't perceive eternal life by touch. If I say to you, do you believe this is a microphone up here? You say, well, I don't know. Let me come up there and look at it. It might just be a stick. But if you touch it and it's on and they run it through the sound booth and you hear my voice coming through it, you say, yeah, I believe that's a microphone. You can see it. You can touch it. You can actually experiment with it. You can't touch eternal life and you can't see eternal life. But when you believe in Jesus Christ and hope for eternal life, the faith that you have that comes from the words of God makes eternal life very tangible. There are so many things about eternal life that I am experiencing right now. And that you're experiencing right now. The righteousness that comes with eternal life, the peace that comes from eternal life, the hope that comes, the assurance of eternal life that comes from all of that is very substantial. Faith makes eternal life substantially real. And to me, where I am in my relationship with the Lord now, where I am in relationship to the eternal life I have now, the faith that I have in the words of God that reveal to me what comes with eternal life, that substance is more real to me than the platform that I'm standing on. You say, why is that? Because this is going to fade away. And eternal life will not fade away. It is eternal. This dirt on which this building is standing is going to dissolve. All the elements making up all the substance that you see around you, all those elements are going to melt. Heaven and earth shall pass away. They're going to burn with a fervent heat, and eternal life will still be here. And so eternal life is more substantial, more tangible, more real than these pews or chairs, than this, and then that plant right there, the whole thing. And you know what? But you still can't touch it. And you still can't see it. But faith made it substantial. Faith is the substance, right, of things hoped for. Your faith in His words is the evidence of things not seen. Can you see the kingdom of God? Not yet. I love that answer. But you will. Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Which would imply then, when you're born again, you're going to see it. But I can't see it right now. You can't see it. Look at 1 Corinthians. We're talking about the evidence of things not seen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The evidence of things not seen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at verse 9 and 10. The evidence of things not seen. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. All right, so there were seven thunders that sounded, and John was going to write those down, and the Lord said, don't write those down. And Paul was up in heaven, in the third heaven, in paradise, and he heard things that were unlawful for him to speak. There are things you don't know yet. There are things that I don't know yet, but we know that they're there. But then there are some things that we have not seen, but we've read about them in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit, by faith, has made those very real to us. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And as we saw this morning, one aspect, one quality of the fruit of the Spirit is faith. So the Holy Spirit, when you're reading the Bible, reveals something to you that you didn't know, that you've not seen, but that you will see. Reveals that to you. He does, the Spirit does, through the words that were written here. And you know you know they are your evidence that these things are so. You understand that? You say, what is the evidence? What is the evidence that you have for New Jerusalem and the mansions that are above? And how do you even know it's above? I said, because I have faith. And the Holy Spirit has revealed that to me. That's the evidence. Now, do you see why it is so difficult for somebody who doesn't believe the Bible to talk with somebody who does believe the Bible about these matters? I listen, I've said it, and I know it's true for many of you, so I'm speaking on our behalf. We don't need any more evidence of the kingdom of God than the faith we have from the words of God. It's all the evidence we need. Don't need any more. This is why people who don't believe in God and who don't believe the Bible have such a difficult time arguing their evidence against yours. Somebody goes to the Grand Canyon who is an evolutionist and he says, see, you can see 3 billion years ago and 2 billion years ago and 1 billion years ago. See, that they do that. And they say, see, there's the evidence right there. You can see it. There's the evidence right there. That's what they'll say. And I look at that and I say, God made that. And there's the evidence right there. You say, how do you know that? Because that's what God said. And by faith in his words, I see it. Man, I'm telling you what, it sure changes. You can't, those two will never come to agreement in an argument. One will never prevail over the other by an argument. The only way that one, a believer, for instance, would prevail is by persuading the person who doesn't believe to believe. Because once a person believes and has eternal life, they smile and say, okay, yeah, I get it now, I see it. When they couldn't see it before. I mentioned to you that a couple of years ago, we were talking to a fella. I think I just said this, but I was talking to a fella and he said to me, what does it feel like to have eternal life? And I said, when you have it, you'll know. And that's all I can tell you. And so he goes, okay, all right. And when he got eternal life, then he looked up at me with a smile on his face and tears running down his cheeks. He says, I know what it feels like now. Well, yeah, you got the evidence. You got the evidence. What is it? It's that faith that is the evidence of things not seen. You know, they, people who don't believe this book, cannot see what we see. There are a lot of things I see that you can't see with your eyeballs, but you see them by faith. And that's evidence. That's substance. So sometimes, you know, we're human beings and we have a carnal nature. We have a physical body. And so a lot of things we experience by touch and feeling, by our senses, by seeing and smelling and tasting. And we get used to experiencing things by our physical senses. But when you have faith and your senses are denied, for instance, you fast for a while and don't eat and you get in this Bible, you know what you do? You taste and see that the Lord is good. And you can't do that without faith. You say, well, how do you taste the Lord? When you have, you'll know. It's all by faith. It's all by faith. Yeah, you're right. It sure is. So today, when you believe in Jesus Christ and he saves you, and you believe in his words and you begin to live by them, your faith becomes more substantial. You understand that? I mean, if I look at that chair is there, and that chair's been there ever since that we built this building, and we moved in this building in May of 2013, and here we are, May of 2023. So 10 years ago, that chair was put there. And you know, I've been watching that chair. I've been watching that chair very carefully. It doesn't change. It looks like it did when it showed up. Nothing happens to it. But when you have faith in the Word of God, the evidence grows, the substance grows. Your faith begins to grow exceedingly, and it changes and matures, and the things of heaven become more real. It's like the song we sang, heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Why? For one thing, I'm getting closer to it in the process of time. But for another, I've been reading about it and singing about it and praying about it and talking to the Lord that lives there. And it's just so real to me, I can taste it. You understand that? What happens, though, is when we get caught up in the things of the world and we deny the reading and preaching and teaching of the Word of God, your faith doesn't grow. So there's not much substance, and there's not much evidence to your salvation. But when it's grown, you don't have to tell people. They look at you and they know. There's evidence there. There's substance there. They used to say of men, that man, that's a man of God. They don't say that much anymore. The world seems to have crept in. But nevertheless, so I think you've got a good sense now of what he's talking about. Paul in our text says, talk about their work of faith, your work of faith. That's what Paul was talking about, your work of faith to the Thessalonians. And he marveled at it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, he said, your faith groweth exceedingly. How did he know that? Because he could see the evidence more clearly. He could see the substance more clearly. The work that they were doing that was a consequence of their faith was permeating their society more and more. It was affecting their lives and affecting their homes. I'm going to tell you something. If you were to have visited our house 30 years ago and visit our house today, you would look and say to us, you guys are very different than you were when you married. And you know what that would be? That would be the result of faith. There's a lot more presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in our relationship than there was back in those days. And that would be true of visiting a lot of your houses. We'd go to your house and say, wow, there's really something going on here, man. You guys walk close to the Lord. And it wouldn't be because of something that you're putting on because you've got guests. It's just the natural consequence and the outgrowth of your faith in Christ and in His words. So what happens is that faith that you have that believed in Jesus Christ that allowed you to be saved did not take any work on your part at all. But once it starts growing and becomes more substantial and becomes more evident in your life, you know what happens? You know what follows that? Work. The work, your work of faith. You are Christ's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He wrote to Paul wrote to Titus and he said about the people that Titus ministered to, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Where does that come from? It comes from faith. It comes from faith. And so what happens is things that you thought used to be so hard are not things that are hard at all when the faith has grown to the point where the works are an outgrowth of the faith. Your work of faith. Do you see it? And what happens sometimes in churches, and I was familiar with this when I was younger, a lot of times what would happen is somebody would get saved in a church, and then right away they would put them on a committee, and right away they'd put them in helping out in a Sunday school class, thinking that if they started working, they would grow. And that's not how you grow in faith. You grow in faith, and then you work. You don't work and grow in faith. And that's why a lot of those churches ended up later with splits and falling apart and petty arguments and carnal disputes and envies and strifes, like Paul talked about that with the Corinthians, because they went to work before their faith had strengthened. How many of you know anything about horses? Yeah, a few of you. Did you ever watch a movie that had a horse in it? You don't need to know much to follow the illustration. You don't put a saddle on the back of a very young horse and start riding. You take time with it. Let it strengthen. Teach it. Let it get used to these things. And when the horse is strong enough to bear the work and the load, then you saddle it. Same way with young Christians. The thing to do is nurture the faith. The work then is an outgrowth of the faith. Do you see it? All right. Well, today I'm talking to people that have seen me for a long time, some of you, and I've seen you for a long time. Some of you, this is the first time you've seen me, and it's like, wow, I wonder if they have any other churches in town. Well, let the Lord lead you in that matter. But we've been around each other for a while, okay? And we've been around, and I'm going to tell you something. What should happen in our lives is that the faith we have that's growing should be then accomplishing something in the work for which we were created by the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that prayer is a work of faith? Prayer is a work of faith. So he said, you know, you need to pray when I first got going for the Lord. You need to pray. Well, after a little while, I was tired. Couldn't pray very long, right? But what happens is when the faith grows, listen, when the faith grows strong, your faith, when your faith grows strong, listen, you don't have to convince somebody who really believes these words to pray. You do it as an outgrowth of your faith. You know, I recognize that the disciples, when they were with Jesus Christ, they saw how much Jesus Christ prayed, and they said to him, teach us to pray. And he gave them a good outline for a prayer, and he gave them a good prayer to pray, frankly. But you know, there are some people who still can't pray more than our Father which art in heaven. And bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which we are about to receive. There's some people, you know, honestly, we've talked to people before, and they say, yes, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Do you believe? I absolutely believe. Would you like to pray? I realize that the way you get saved is by believing, but often we'll ask them to pray simply so they hear themselves ask. And the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So they ask simply to acknowledge that they are receiving Jesus Christ and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The prayer doesn't save you. The belief is what saves you. Well, Jesus saves you. It's what saves you. Right? They pray. And you know what I'll say to them? I said, why don't you pray in your own words? And they look at me and say, preacher, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. Can you help me? That's where most people start when they get saved. But I'll tell you something. After you've been through sick children, car wrecks, financial difficulties, many times in the Bible, many times under preaching, many times under teaching, walking by faith, and your faith is growing. Nobody taught you to pray, but you're doing an awful lot of praying now. You didn't go to school on it. Nobody had to teach a course on it. But if somebody asked you to pray, you could stand up and pray right now because you've been spending a lot of time praying. You know what? Prayer is a work of faith. And may I tell you something? Prayer works. Prayer works. I can say honestly now what Pastor Keck said to me a number of years ago. I get more done by prayer now than I do by work. Because I understand who's doing the work. And talking to him and getting in touch with the Lord and watching him do things. It is amazing to me how much God gets involved in your lives. I know there are people who give God credit for everything good that happens, and there are people who give the devil a hard time for every bad thing that happens. Because they don't know any other spiritual way to explain it. Oh, they gave me an extra scoop of ice cream. Isn't God good? I'm just, maybe he got involved in that, but I mean, you're a Christian and you see every good thing as God's doing and every bad thing as the devil's doing. You don't know how else to explain it. But I'll tell you truthfully, he does get involved in small details in your lives, and it amazes me when he does. I love it when you don't have to give God credit. Everybody recognizes God did it, but it came as a consequence of prayer. Prayer works, but it is a work of faith. You do not have to convince people who really believe this book and really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to convince them to talk to him. They're talking to him. Paul had a tremendous amount of faith, and he said to us, pray without ceasing. And he says to these folks that he's writing these letters to, he said, I cease not to pray for you night and day. Wow. How does a man do that? Get a lot of faith and you'll see. You know what? Giving is a work of faith. Oh, there you go, preacher. I knew it was going to come out every time we go to church. I'm going to talk about giving. I hadn't talked to you about giving in so long you forgot that I even knew about it. Here's why I say giving is a work of faith. You know what will happen? A lot of times somebody will get saved and they start in a church, and right away the preacher starts talking about tithing, and he'll do a 7-week series on tithing. And that person doesn't have much faith. They're scared to death. They don't know what to do. They start doing it because that's what they're told to do. And if they don't, you know, somehow or another, God's going to burn down the building and dry up heaven and send the devourer, and scared to death about that matter, and they don't even know what they're doing. But you know what? If you preach to people and teach people to get into the Bible and believe God and start walking by faith and they get some faith, you don't have to talk to them about giving. Because giving is really a work of faith. And the more you trust God, the more you trust God with. Right? He said, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. And you look at that and go, I don't even know how much to give. After a while, you don't even worry about it anymore. You just trust God so much, you let him run the whole show. R.G. Letourneau is famous for converting mule skinner equipment, Fresno scrapers and the like, to the machinery you see that's operating today, moving dirt like maintainers and bulldozers and dirt scrapers and all those kind of things. He's the one that took it all from being pulled by mules to being run by engines. And then Letourneau University out there in East Texas, that's the name for him. You know what? He started giving, and the more his faith grew and the more he see God get involved in the things he was doing, by the time he was an old man, he was living on 10% and giving God 90%. You say, how in the world would a man do a thing like that? That's what happens when you got faith. And nobody's going to talk a person into or out of that, and don't even need to when it comes as a consequence of faith. When you look at what's going on in the Macedonian church that Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and the way they gave so cheerfully and the way they gave so liberally in the time of great affliction and deep poverty, you look at that and go, what in the world is going on? It was the grace of God that was manifested in them by the faith they had in the Lord. Nobody taught them to do that. It was a work of faith. Everything that we do by faith, magnifies Jesus Christ, glorifies God when it is a consequence of the faith that you have. So when you start out small, it starts out small, and as you get bigger, the work gets bigger. Does that make sense to you? Your work of faith. Your work of faith. Do you know witnessing is a work of faith? Witnessing is a work of faith. Now, I realize that sometimes you benefited by a soul-winning class, or by soul-winning instruction, or by going with soul-winning with somebody that does it. I understand that, because your flesh is like, I don't even know what to say. Your flesh is like, I don't want to go over there. People don't want to talk about religion and politics. Thank God we're not talking about religion and politics. We're talking about Jesus Christ. That's a different subject. Yeah. So I truly... get it that you're encouraged when you have some instruction by somebody. But may I tell you something? When you really believe what the Bible says about heaven, when you really believe what the Bible says about eternal life, when you really believe what the Bible says about joy and having life and having more abundantly, when you really believe that, it spills over. You kind of can't shut up about it, because it's in you. And you believe it with so much, it's like, why wouldn't I want somebody else to know this? As a matter of fact, when you really believe what the Bible says about hell, you really don't want people to go there. In Luke chapter 16, when we get a conversation between a man in hell and Abraham in Abraham's bosom next to that, and they're having a conversation, this guy is tormented in his flame. He was not the least bit concerned about his eternity while he was living in wealth on this earth. Wasn't. Once he got down there and he got in the flames, he said to Abraham, please send Lazarus. I have five brothers, that they don't come into this place. And Jesus said, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe the one rose from the dead. It comes from faith. But man, when you really believe what that Bible says about that flaming fire and a place prepared for the devil and his angels, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and you got any kind of love whatsoever for somebody that's like next to you in work or in your neighborhood or in your family, somehow or another you're going to gird up your loins and get a little bit of strength and say, you really don't want to go there. Maybe when y'all were younger and y'all got in a fight, you said to him, go to hell. But now that you're saved and you got some faith, you're like, don't go to hell, whatever you do. And you're like, I didn't even mean to say that, but I just couldn't help it. Witnessing is a work of faith. You don't have to coax people into witnessing who really believe in Jesus and his words. Is heaven real to you? Is there anybody in your life that you love enough you'd really like to have there with you? There's probably a few you would rather not have there with you, but as your faith grows, you'll get over that too. You know, I'll tell people at a funeral when I'm preaching a funeral, I'll say to them, because you always know that there are going to be some lost people at a funeral. I'll say to them, if you loved this person, we're having this memorial service or this funeral, if you loved this person enough to come here on this day to pay your respects to his family or her family, to show your appreciation for that friendship, do you not love them enough to want to spend eternity with them in heaven? If you're willing to make the trip here, would you be willing to make the trip to heaven? You can do that if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And a lot of times people are like, whoa, I just didn't even think about that. You know, what you don't want is you don't want to get late in life. There are a lot of people who've watched you live your life pretty much for yourself and not for the Lord, pretty much live by sight and not by faith. And then before you go, get real scared about where they might be going. And then you're like, I don't know what to tell them. Because you didn't tell them when you had a better opportunity with growing faith. You know, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll show you another one real quick. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. All these simple things that that worry you. You get concerned about. You get concerned about telling somebody about the Lord. You get concerned about missions and what's going on in other fields. You get concerned about the lack of prayer in your life. Let me tell you, grow your faith by believing these words and walking in faith, and you will see those things change in your life. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 11. We're going to read verse 11 to 16, so stay with me because you're going to see something here that applies very much to all of us. The Lord gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That's what I am. I'm a pastor and teacher. For what purpose? The perfecting of the saints, so this helps you. For the work of the ministry, this helps us as a local church accomplish what God wants us to do. For the edifying of the body of Christ, we help others who are saved that are not part of this local group here. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now watch it. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Let me stop right there. Are you in the body? Are you fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth? In other words, are you supplying something to the body? Are you supplying something to the body? Watch it. According to the effectual, what's the next word? Effectual working. So this is work that is effective. Effectual working in the measure of how many parts? Every part. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Do you understand? You're here. You know how I know that? I can see you. You're here. And you are a part. You're a part. And God has given you the faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. As that faith grows and you are compacted with the body, you become one of the joints that supplieth. That's effectual working. The work of the ministry is a work of faith. You may be asking, I wonder what I can do for the Lord. And I'll say this, please get on your knees and believe that book and start growing in faith. And the ministry is a work of faith. You know what I'm doing here? I'm preaching and teaching. That is a work of faith. I have believed God and believed His words, and so He did something in me to equip me to do what I'm doing today. And I can honestly tell you, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that when Jesus Christ told His disciples, without me you can do nothing, I know that's exactly true in my life. If it weren't for the Lord, this would be a big nothing today. 100%. I don't do this because I'm eloquent. I feel like Moses. I'm not an eloquent man, Lord. Or intelligent. Or any other natural thing. God takes the natural. You don't have to be smiling at what I'm saying. God did something in here. The ministry is a work of faith. Everything you do for the Lord as a work of faith should be a consequence of your faith, not your conscience that says, oh, I ought to be doing something more for God. You believe Him and walk by faith, you will be. And you'll be right there where He wants you to be, accomplishing exactly what He wants you to accomplish for the sake of the ministry to which He has given us as a church. And that's a good thing. The work of faith. I would say to you today, if you're here, and you are here, and you have not yet received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to really think about what you've heard today. Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for your sins, and wants to save your soul. But you need to trust Him, because He will not force that on you. That's what you should do. And though most of us here, maybe all of us, that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, faith is your evidence. Faith is your substance. Get in this book and grow. And you too will have a work of faith called your work of faith. Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity to be able to open the Scripture and see very clearly something that is, first of all, very true and also very helpful. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm going to simply ask this question. Is there anybody here right now? People aren't looking around. I am, because I want to see it if you're one of those. And you right now realize I'm not even in this thing they've been talking about because I'm not saved. If you know you're not saved and you would like somebody to pray for you and show you from the Scripture how to be saved, slip your hand up. I'll pray for you now and I'll meet you afterwards. Will not bother you, but I do want to pray for you. Is there anybody here right now? Slip your hand up and just say, preacher, please stick around. Show me what the Bible says. Show me the gospel out of the Scripture. Anybody? Okay. You're here and you've heard now a lot about faith today, both in Sunday school and now in church, and you realize the reason that you're not more substantial, not more evidence, is that the faith is lacking because of the lack of exposure to the words of God and belief in the words of God. Let me tell you something, that needs to change. My question to you is, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, will you do something about this today? Will you make a change in your life so that God can do the work, your work of faith through you.